Welcome, everyone. Imagine that, 37 steak fries, and we haven't fried a steak yet. My grillers always want me to talk about that. But I want you to know I have a better winning streak than 40 years in the Congress. It's 46 years of love and partnership with a wonderful woman by the name of Ruth Harkin. Come on, get up, Ruth. Of course, all of you know the story, but what the heck, I'll say it again. Better me saying it than someone else. We both ran for office together in 1972. I ran for Congress. Ruth ran for county attorney, and the best politician won. I'll give you a hint, it wasn't me. Ruth was the only woman county attorney in Iowa and the only Democrat in the Story County Courthouse. She actually did so well at that job that when I ran 2 years later, a lot of people were saying, well, you know, if she's that good, he can't be all that bad. And that's how I got elected. I might also add one other thing, that after serving as county attorney, she left a great legacy. And here it is, folks. Before Ruth Harkin was county attorney in Story County, there had never, never been a Democratic county attorney in that county. Since she left, there's never been a Republican county attorney in Story County. And Ruth went on to obviously have a distinguished career, including appointment by President Clinton to head the Overseas Private Investment Corporation. And through it all, a great mom to our two daughters, now a wonderful grandma to our three grandchildren. So, what a hell of a crowd this is. This is great. My gosh. Sarah Palin said it's so big she can see all up in Wasilla, well, Alaska today up there. Yeah. And to think you all came here just to see me. No. Wait a minute. Who am I kidding? Isn't it wonderful, a joy and an honor to have President Clinton and Hillary Clinton here for this state fair? You know, we've always thought of the steak fries as sort of a gathering of the clans, the Democratic clans around the state of Iowa, energize us for the election. It's kind of like a big family. And over these years, both Bill and Hillary have become a part of our Iowa Democratic family. They've been in our homes, they've broken bread with us, they've become our friends and our inspiration. So when Bill Clinton was running for president in 1992, a lot of you remember he was dubbed the comeback kid. Well, I have a new phrase. President Clinton and Hillary Clinton are now the comeback couple in America. Now, before I go any further, I've got some thank yous to say. First of all, last night, we had a reunion of over 250 staffers, people who worked for me from 1972 through this time. And they were just great. It was wonderful to see so many people who had worked so hard to advance our progressive causes and to take good care of the people of Iowa. You know, so often I get thanked and I get awards and all that kind of stuff. for the good things we've done for Iowa, but it's the staff who've done the hard work and got the job done. So today, I want to give credit where credit is due. Thank you to all my staffers across all these years. Thank you. I know they're all here. I don't know exactly where they all are, but they're all here. Thank you very much. I want to thank Scott Brennan for being a great state chair of our Democratic Party. He and Liz were, his wife, were both staffers of mine. Come to think of it, half the Democrats in Iowa have been on my staff at one time or another, now that I think about it. But he's done a great job and is doing a great job for our state party. Another person I want to thank, you know, he did so great both as a state senator but as our governor. But I want you all to know, 40 years I've been on the Agriculture Committee in the House and in the Senate. I've seen a lot of secretaries of agriculture come and go. They've all been good. That's all right. They're fine. They're all good. But I got to tell you, the one we have now has taken the Department of Agriculture and notched it up higher than any secretary has ever done, both in this country and in the world, both for our farmers and our consumers, but especially for our kids in school who are eating better meals because of Tom Vilsack. I want to thank Joy Milliken. She's been my interpreter for over 20 years. Thank you, Joy. Joy used to do a lot of interpreting for my brother Frank for so many years. I want to thank the ground crews who spent the days yesterday and so many days before setting up this event. And they've done it every year for years. Don Brown, Don Ruby, Lee Tillman, John Kaiser, Jerry Ullman, and Don Van Ryswick. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I was down here yesterday, and they were hammering and drilling and getting all this stuff done, and I think it was Jerry said to me, he says, you know what? He looked up, his sweat was dripping down his face. He's drilling, putting nails in things. He said, you know, he said, I'm not doing this again. And I said, Jerry, neither am I. But they've just been great all through the years. Our grillers, the ones who grill the steaks, not fry them, grill them. Ted and Joan Lewis and Glenn Perry, Larry and Alice Gittens, Ted and Valerie Deal, Don and Dolores Van Ryswick. Thank you so much for so many years. Now at the risk of just singling one person out, but by gosh, I'm going to do it. Because on my staff, for over 20 years, the one person who's been in charge of the steak fries, making sure they get set up, making sure that all this stuff is done, has been Pam Ringleb. And I don't know where Pam is right now. Pam, where are you? Oh, come over, just come on. Pam Ringleb has worked so hard on these for 20 years. Pam. Just worked her heart out on these. So I want to thank everyone. Now for the most important thank you of all. As we all know, I'm in the home stretch of my final term in the United States Senate. Over those decades, I've been able to do some good things, like authoring and passing the Americans with Disabilities Act. But you know, Mr. President, there's an old saying, I bet it's true down in Arkansas too as it is in Iowa. If you're driving down a country road and you see a turtle sitting up on top of a fence post. You can be sure of one thing. It didn't get there by itself. So the good things that I've been able to accomplish, let me make it clear, I didn't do it by myself. Every single one of you empowered me. Every door you knocked on empowered me. Every dollar you raised for me in my campaigns, you empowered me. Every person you got out to vote, you empowered me to do those things. So again, I stand on the shoulders of giants. You, my fellow Democrats, and my fellow Iowans, you put your trust in me. You worked your hearts out for me. You stood by me when things got tough. And sometimes things got pretty tough. I never could have imagined that this would be my life. Think about it. As a young boy growing up in Cumming, Warren County, just a few miles from here, town of 150 people. My father had a sixth grade education. My mother was an immigrant. They raised six kids in a small two-bedroom house. We didn't know politicians. We didn't talk politics. But we knew this. When my family hit rock bottom in the Depression, and that was just a few months before I was born, my dad was out of work. He'd been mining coal for most of his life. There was no work. There were no jobs. He had five kids and another one on the way, me. Life looked pretty dim. Life looked pretty hopeless. But then one day, he got a card in the mail. He always later said he got a card from Franklin Delano Roosevelt himself. He got a card in the mail for him to report to work at once as a laborer on a project for $40.30 a month on the Works Project Administration, WPA. You know what that project was? It was over here at Lake Okwabee, not more than, what, 10 miles from where we are here today, and people today are still using Lake Okwabee as a recreation area. So if you ever come to my office, and some of you have, I don't have an I Love Me wall, but what I do have is I have my dad's WPA card sitting on that wall to remind me of where I came from and who I ought to be fighting for in this country. And so that job gave him dignity, gave him money to put food on the table. But most importantly of all, it gave him hope. Hope. Gave him hope. And after a few years of that, he was able to then work during the war years, paid enough in to get Social Security. Then he had Social Security. And then later on, before he passed away, he got Medicare. So what did I learn from all that? Growing up, never talking politics or anything like that, what I learned from that is that with the right people in office, with the right hearts and the willingness to work, our government can do good things for people in this country. It can help give hope to people. I remember old George W. Bush, President Bush, he went around campaigning saying government can't give hope to people. One time, one of his people was in my office and said, well, Harkin, you got to admit, government really can't do these kinds of things, can't give hope to people. And I said, you know, you're talking to the wrong person. Come over here and look at this WPA card. Now tell me about that. That gave my dad hope, gave my family hope. And since I got into politics, I always believed that a cardinal obligation of our government is to make sure we leave the ladder down for others to climb to. You know, there's nothing wrong with making money and having a better home and a nicer car and all the good things that money provides, that's a big part of the American dream. But here's what distinguishes us from our Republican cousins. We believe, you and I, President Clinton, Hillary, Bruce Braley, Jack Hatch, Dave Lobsack, Ruth, here's what we all believe. We believe that when you climb that ladder of success, and when you get to the top, and when we get to the top, one of the primary functions of government is to make sure we leave that ladder down for others to climb too. But you see, the rungs have to be there. The rungs have to be there. Things like maternal and child health care programs, good education, great teachers, good public schools, Pell Grants, good things for students. And sometimes people fall off that ladder. They get sick, they have an illness, they get injured. That's why we have disability insurance. That's why we have job retraining programs to get you back up and get going again, a safety net to catch you when you fall. This summer, 24 years ago, there were about 20 million Americans that no matter how hard they tried, could never climb that ladder. Americans with disabilities. So what did we do? We built a ramp, and we called it the Americans with Disabilities Act. And you know, there's not one nickel, not one dime in that bill given to any person with a disability. All we said is tear down the barriers, and then people with disabilities can do it on their own. But break down the barriers. It has changed the face of America. And I want to thank you because you gave me the opportunity to play that role. So you empowered me to make a difference. And I can never properly thank you. I just want you to know how grateful I am. I have done my best to carry forward the populist progressive banner of fighting for working people in this country and fighting for people who didn't get a fair shake, the least, the lost, and the left behind. That's who we get to. That's what you empowered me to do, to fight for them. I can honestly say I know that over the last 40 years, you probably don't agree with every vote I've cast. I don't think I agree with every vote I've cast, now that I look back. I just hope and trust that in my 40 years, 10 in the House and 30 in the Senate, that I've been able to represent you in the way that you wanted to be represented, with the highest ideals of our Democratic Party and the highest aspirations of the people of Iowa. If I've done that, then I leave a very satisfied man from the United States Senate. Thank you. Now, I may be retiring from the Senate, but I'm not retiring from the fight, I'll tell you that. In fact, this week in the Senate, I'll be leading the charge once again to increase the minimum wage in America. We got to get it done. Now, the Republicans are probably going to filibuster it again. Well, if they won't let us pass it in the Congress, we'll take them on at the polls. And we'll show them what the people of America want in November when we give them a good whipping. But I want to say this. If you want to thank me for my service, there's really only one way I want you to do that. make sure that this Senate seat remains in good, fighting, progressive hands, with Congressman Bruce Braley being the next senator from the state of Iowa. And so, we have to have a government that works for the middle class, that leaves the ladder down, gives hope and opportunity to people. President Clinton knows this. When he was campaigning here in 1992, he said he was going to build a bridge to the 21st century. And guess what? He did. He built that bridge. 22 million new jobs, 8 million people lifted out of poverty, shared prosperity around the country, because he knew that when we made economic gains, everyone ought to take part in that. My friend Paul Wellstone used to always say, we all do better when we all do better. But since President Clinton left the office in 2001, Republicans have been determined to tear that bridge down. They've replaced it with a bridge to nowhere. I call it a bridge backward to an inequality in this country not seen since the 1920s. But let's be clear. Iowans don't want to go backward. We do not want a Tea Party senator who says she wants to abolish the Department of Education, repeal the Clean Air Act, privatize Social Security, and voucherize Medicare. Now, friends, Joni Ernst is known for what she does to hogs. But I got to tell you, what scares me is what she wants to do to people. Especially working people, or students, or seniors. She says she's going to go to Washington, quote, make them squeal. But the last thing we need in the United States Senate is another Tea Party zealot who mocks people, refuses to compromise, and gets nothing done for Iowa. We don't need another bridge burner in the Senate. We need a bridge builder. Someone well-grounded in their philosophy and a good progressive philosophy, but understands you got to make deals, you got to get things done, who respects the views of those with whom we may disagree. We need a senator from Iowa with a proven record of reaching across the aisle to get things done. And no one has done a better job of building bridges and getting things done and Congressman Bruce Braley. A lot of folks ask me if I'm going to miss the Senate. Yes, I am. I love my work. I love my job. I even love the Senate. With all its dysfunctions once in a while, it's still a great place. You can get things done. But 40 years is long enough for anyone to serve in the Congress. There comes a time to gracefully bow out and make room for a new generation of leaders. And I am thrilled to think that this next January the 3rd, at noon, I'll be able to walk down the center aisle of the Senate and pass the torch to Senator Bruce Braley from Iowa. And as Ruth mentioned, we'll be spending a lot more time now in Iowa, and we're going to be doing a lot of work with the Harkin Institute at Drake University. And since we're going to be here in Iowa, I sure would like to have a governor who represents me in the same progressive, forward manner as Governor Vilsack and Governor Culver, and that's why we got to elect Jack Hatch as our next governor. And folks, since Ruth and I live in Warren County, in the 3rd District, in this district, I want to be represented by the first Iowa woman to ever serve the United States Congress, Stacey Apple. Wherever Stacey, or Stacey Apple, right here. We're in her district. And Jim Maurer, for his past service to our nation with the military in Iraq. Thank you for that. But thank you for your future service in getting Steve King out of Congress and putting you in there. Where is Jim Maurer? Right here. And I can't speak too highly of our candidate in the 1st District. Pat Murphy was an outstanding Speaker of the Iowa House, and with our help, he is going to replace Bruce Braley in the 1st District. Pat Murphy, right here from Dubuque. And in the 2nd District, I want you all to know, I have never seen anyone work as hard as Dave Lobsack. He is out there constantly, all the time. I know he's going to get reelected. I want you to join me in thanking Dave for his great service and thank him for winning this next election and continuing to serve us in the Congress. Dave Lobsack. Well, this can all happen, but we need your help. We need you to volunteer when you leave here today. Help us get the absentee ballots in. Door knocking, get out the vote. If Democrats who just voted in the last election vote this time, we win. We just got to get those votes in. So join me in showing the Koch brothers and the Tea Party that Democratic people power in Iowa will whip them every time. So, friends, I know you're eager to hear from our special guests. You know, I mentioned Bill Clinton's bridge to the 21st century and how it's being replaced with a bridge that goes backward. Well, I have to close my remarks with my signature closing, first uttered by me at the 2000 National Convention in Los Angeles. If anyone asked you what's at stake in this election or what's this election all about, all you need to tell them is this. Everything you needed to know about this election, you learned in driver's education. And what did we learn in driver's education? We learned that if you want to go backward, you put it in R. All right, come on, folks, come on. If you want to go forward, put it in D.